Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 85 of The Morning After. That's not crazy. A hologram. I'm really back in New York.
She is back.
I'm Jesse Kiefer.
And I'm Jen Tullock, finally flanked by my beloved co-host. That was a lonely 2 weeks.
I'm so sorry. I mean, you had some good company and really awesome guests.
I had some great company. Claire Paparazzo was the shit, as usual. That was a blast.
Amanda Cohen
was delightful.
And how was our co-host?
She was amazing. Sari was awesome. Sari came in, popped in, and held down the fort with me for the first episode without you. It was good. We talked about vegetarian food. We talked about wine with Claire. It was good, but it's never the same.
Well, I can't believe that I've already been to Greece and back, and I've been back for a week. It feels like a whirlwind.
There is a glisten. There's a glow to your skin.
Oh, is there really? Because I was in a bus the whole time. I didn't see the sun. Are you kidding me? I was in a bus and in wineries seeing big giant tanks.
Is that where you got your Hogwarts blazer?
No, the Hogwarts blazer came from Santa Cruz.
I like
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. It's a big, long, shoulder-padded... Yeah,
it certainly is. You're serving me some Harry Potter / Diane Keaton.
Really? I kind of want to say I'm right on top of that rose.
Right on top of that rose. Lindsay actually had her bachelorette party last night, and they watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
No kidding.
Because they are crazy. They're a crazy bunch of party bitches.
Yeah, that sounds wild.
They're actually at Six Flags today. Riding the coasters.
Where's Six Flags?
Great America.
Where is that?
Six Flags, something. There's something in New Jersey.
Oh, it's in New Jersey. Okay, yeah. I had no idea.
I don't know. I'm drinking scotch and having a dinner for my party.
Exactly. Perfect. I'll be in that one.
Yes, I hope so.
So I hear you got a fantastic new wedding gift, and you're utilizing it. And I'm proud of you, and I'm terrified.
Thank you so much. We did get a juicer. I remember my dad was like going through, he was on the juice train long before it actually became trendy. I remember like back in the early 90s, he was all about the juicing. But yeah, we got one. So I was like, I might as well use the thing. I mean, it looks like a goddamn spaceship. It looks like George Jetson's just going to pop out of it and erase my memory with some sort of glow stick. But
or a carrot.
Yeah, the box arrived in the mail, and I was like, is this a coffin? Is this the remains of a loved one that I wasn't told about? It's huge. But yes, I am. I was like, well, I got the juicer, so I'm going to juice. So I'm just going to... I was at a wedding over the weekend for Lindsay's lovely cousin Kate out in Jersey. Those motherfuckers can drink. Let me tell you what. So I'm detoxifying. This morning I had a kale, garlic, ginger, carrot, and zucchini juice. It was delightful. I'm sure I smell like death.
I just hope you don't collapse mid-show.
I don't think I will. I actually feel pretty energetic, but I'm also on day one, so I think it might just be the calm before the storm.
Did you have coffee today?
I did. I'm allowing myself coffee for the first 2 days, and then I'm going to wean.
I can't wait to see you next week.
You really can't wait. It's going to be a fucking train wreck, but it'll be good. Okay, so other than Greece, I mean, no big deal.
Well, other than Greece, I have very big news. I am moving to Bushwick.
Welcome.
So I will no longer have a bridge between...
She's leaving the island, ladies and gentlemen. She's leaving the island.
And I can't believe that I'm leaving the island, but we got a great place, and I'm excited to be closer to this and closer to you, Jen.
Tell us, just for our listeners' sake, Jesse, what are the pros of moving to Bushwick from the East Village?
Well, in my case, lower rent, mm-hmm. More space, mm-hmm. a more urban environment.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got for now.
And you will be living 3 minutes from me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
We could do tin can walkie-talkies. We got to get on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, I'm right next to the train, to the J. It's going to be perfect.
It's a good life, man.
Absolutely. So I'm feeling positive. My 9th Street Espresso barista told me yesterday that Alphabet City is dead. I know.
I'm going to keep my mouth closed on that one.
Alphabet City is dead. Look at who's moving here. And so that's kind of what I'm working on, is to make me feel better, because I don't really agree with him yet. But, you know, I think Bushwick's going to be pretty real, and it'll feel good to be in a neighborhood that's still growing and evolving.
Wherever you are, there you shall thrive.
Thank you, Jen.
If you ever need to juice, you just come on over.
Perfect. So in studio today, it's not just Jen and I gabbing about, you know, not seeing each other for 2 weeks. Rosemary Gray and Peter Leem, the masterminds behind Sherry Fest.
Woo!
Welcome to studio, guys.
Thanks for having us.
I can't wait to talk to them about why in the world they were crazy enough to do Sherry Fest the first time, and now Sherry Fest part deux. But first, we're going to go with a little variation on front of house today.
It's your favorite story. It's front of house. It's a front of house.
So you were enjoying your travels in Greece. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you thought of us, which is so sweet of you. You thought about front of house because you learned some new things.
I did. I mean, I was definitely a big old American there. And I had my preconceived notions about certain Greek things. And while some were, you know, were justified, the others were not. So I put together a top five list.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I have a little surprise for you, because I actually talked to the dame. She wasn't supposed to be here this week. She had some sort of Queen's Garden Tea Party again. They have like six of those a year.
Insane.
She's always going to one.
Does she do them in the winter
as well?
She's
so caffeinated. Yeah, all the time. But she said, I told her that you were coming back, and she said she was willing to come. So she's actually going to read these for us. So let me just grab her for a second.
Okay.
Number one, the Greeks invented everything, including hospitality. I'm looking at you, Danny Meyer. I'm looking at you. Number two. Not all salads in Greece are called Greek salad. They're just salad. Number three. Greeks do not say opa when they drop things, but they will if you ask them to. One time I asked my neighbor Nico to say it. He punched me in the face and ran briskly away. Number four. They no longer believe in mythology, but Mount Olympus is, in fact, a real thing. Number five. Everyone's names have a holiday of the same day. It is bigger than your birthday. You should feel bad about this. Number six. My big fat Greek wedding is a highly contested film in Greece. In fact, if you mention it upon any public transportation, you shall be also punched in the face. Number seven. Sip porto is what you drink after meals, not ouzo. What the fuck is that about? Number eight. Retsina does not suck if you make it correctly. And I did. Thank you.
Oh, she's gone.
Thank you so much, Dame.
She never sticks around to talk. She's very professional.
I like to think of her as a spirit. Maybe she's flown back to Mount Olympus.
She's flown back to the body of a previous lifetime.
No, there's this really crazy, basically your name, you know, it has its own holiday.
Yeah, name day. They have that throughout Europe. It's the same in Poland and the Ukraine. And
really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So our guide, Stavrula, it was her name day on the 15th. And name day apparently means that everyone just calls you constantly and doesn't leave you alone.
Yeah, it's just a day for everyone to tell you how awesome you are.
Exactly. And everyone, like, when I'd be like, it's Stavrula's name day, they'd be like, oh, it is. Yes, of course. They all know when everyone's name day is. And, you know, I kind of like the idea, because you never get a year older on that day.
Let me ask you this. If you, like, were born in Park Slope and your asshole parents gave you, like, six hyphenated names, do you get one for each?
I don't know. If they're in the Greek Orthodox sainthood.
There's got to be some Greek orthos hanging out in Park Slope. I'm going to investigate this.
You should. All right. So while you're doing that, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Rosemary and Peter of Sherry Fest.
You're listening to Let's Not by Shadowbox on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
We're back here on the morning after. It feels like it just happened, Sherry Fest, but in reality, it's been about a year, and they're back at it, Peter Leem and Rosemary Gray. Thank you so much for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
So please, I guess, tell me, you know, and remind everyone how Sherry Fest was conceived initially.
Well, I suppose, Sherry Fest got started last year. When I wrote a book about Sherry, and you know, in the beginning, I don't even think that we conceived of Sherry Fest at all, let alone like this international extravaganza that it's become. But I really wanted to do something for my book launch, mm-hmm. and I had envisioned bringing some Sherry producers over here doing a Sherry tasting, and spoke with Rosemary about it. And she thought that it was a good idea, and I'm not sure that she still does.
she was just like, "Yeah, Peter, that's a great idea," and then she didn't realize that she was involved in it.
you can't see it, but she has a single tear running down her face right now.
It was something like that. I think he sat me down for a cup of coffee and presented the idea, and we had done dinner events in the past, and so I didn't really think about. About the size of it or of it snowballing. I just simply said yes and was like, yeah, I can help you throw a sherry party. You know, come on. and so I started talking to people about the sherry party, and things really snowballed. So
Because it became a full week.
Because it became a full week of parties. And a lot more producers came, and a lot more wine was featured, and a lot of people really wanted to support us. And so we just kept adding events. And so it developed into a week long festival, and the origin of it was really that simple. I mean, it really was Peter and I just deciding to do something that we were passionate about, that we both really wanted to kind of raise awareness about Sherry and get people drinking these wines that we think are really cool, and that was it. It was just born of that.
So why don't you think people like sherry?
I don't think people understand sherry. And okay. So I think that their apprehension is based a lot in lack of education or just lack of experience about it. And that there's a lot of, there's been a lot of misconceptions about what it is and how it tastes. And so I think that's the biggest barrier.
Yeah, in fact, I think that people do like sherry. What's curious is that when you actually pour sherry for people, more often than not, people who have never tasted sherry before, they embrace it completely.
So what does Sherry Fest this year entail?
It entails a lot of what it entailed last year. The first day is a set of citywide in-store tastings. So we've collaborated with over 30 retailers to pour sherry in-store on that Saturday. And so pretty much virtually all of the major wine shops that you might go to in and around Manhattan and Brooklyn will be pouring sherry that day. And then Sunday night we have the following day, so Sunday, October 6th, we have a kickoff dinner at Pearl and Ash. And that's one of five dinners. So there's five dinner events over the course of the next 3 days. There'll be two dinners on Monday night, one at Hearth and one at Maysville. And on Tuesday we have dinners at Manzanilla and Northern Spy. And those dinners are with producers who are traveling here from Spain to be here for Sherry Fest. And so all of those dinners are hosted by two producers who are, showcasing their wine. It really gives people in the industry and consumers a chance to come to dinner and have dinner with the producer and engage with them in an environment that's, that's relaxed and friendly, and also, the benefit of being able to see Sherry paired with a lot of different kinds of food. And then on Monday, October 7th, we have a day of seminars all day long at Astor Center. We'll be hosting educational seminars. And those also are hosted by traveling producers. And then on Tuesday is the Grand Tasting. So we have over 27 bodegas featured at the Grand Tasting and 150 sherries. And it's an all-day walk-around industry-style tasting.
What do you feel like you've been able to do for this Sherry Fest that you couldn't do for the last Sherry Fest?
Well, I think that we've added several producers, which is great. I mean, the Grand Tasting, I mean, this is one of the largest sherry tastings in the world. So yeah, to have, you know, 27 of the best bodegas, you know, here in New York, you know, pouring wines, this is really exciting. I think, yeah, you know,
I think the biggest thing is that we went international this year. you know, is that we finish up events on October 8th in New York, and we turn around and get on planes the next day, and we fly to Toronto, and we're doing 3 days in Toronto. So the biggest thing that we could do this year that we couldn't do last year is that we're breaking into the Canadian market with Sherry Fest.
What is the sherry world like in Canada?
We're going to find out, and we're going to make it better.
I was lucky enough to go to one of the dinners last year with Gonzalez Bias and Hidalgo at Bar Jamon. And I went into it thinking, how are we going to pair sherry with an entire meal? How do you guys approach skeptics like me, even someone who's educated in wine?
Well, I mean, sherry is a wine that is definitely at its best when paired with food. Sherry on its own can be delicious, but when you put it together with food, it becomes magical. And that's the very best way to experience sherry. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that's the primary reason that we host so many dinners at Sherry Fest and make them the centerpiece of the event. One thing is that there are many different styles of sherry. And so it becomes interesting over the course of a dinner to follow this progression. You know, you can have finos and manzanillas, which are lighter in body and you know, younger wines, and you can have olorosos or amontillados that can be very old and very complex and very rich. And so you compare them with different things. And so I think that, I mean, what's really cool is that you know, working with the chefs that we have you know, last year and this year at various restaurants, we see chefs get really excited about pairing sherries with their food. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, if they're excited about it, if we're excited about it, you know, all of this sort of passion for sherry becomes infectious, and you know, the dinner events, you know, become a lot of fun.
So you're working with some restaurants that do focus on Spanish cuisine, but the restaurants that don't, like Northern Spy, for example, are they altering their menu, or are they using what they normally cook and pairing that with sherry?
Well, we're encouraging people to really showcase their regular food. Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, last year we did dinners at a number of Spanish restaurants. This year, the only Spanish restaurant that we're doing a dinner at is Manzanilla, and this was a little bit deliberate. In fact, I think that what's great about sherry consumption here in New York is that it's not restricted only to Spanish restaurants. You know, you see sherry on the wine lists of all sorts of places, you know, and sherry, because of its amazing ability to pair with all sorts of flavors. I mean, we really wanted to showcase this and to you know, to push sherry out of just that world of Spanish cuisine and show off what sherry can do.
Yeah, we very intentionally chose restaurants that had, you know, different styles of food that would show the versatility of sherry. And you know, we took it a step further. One of the seminar events is also about pairing sherry with food, and for that we've brought in a Japanese chef.
Yeah, from the restaurant 1 or 8 in Williamsburg.
And so, you know, even there, we're continuing to try to really push the envelope and get people to you know, just really embrace and understand that sherry can be something that can be had with a lot of different kinds of food. And I think one of the things that makes it, and Peter can probably comment on this in a more scholarly way than I can, but, you know, I think that people, you know, have an idea of sherry often, you know, being sweet or being heavy. But in a lot of senses, I feel like the wines are really lithe. And while they may not technically be high in acidity, they feel incredibly refreshing on the palate, even Palo Cortados and Amontillados. And I think that that's something that is really fun to kind of experience for the first time. And I think that sometimes it's hard to think about having sherry for four courses because people don't engage with it enough to realize that it really is an amazingly light and refreshing beverage. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so wonderful with food. It doesn't have as like high of a glycerol content, I think, essentially, than like a lot of heavy red wines, and so, you know, just those technicalities of its constitution make it very good with a lot of food.
Are the seminars at Astor Center kind of more geared towards people in the industry, people of the wine trade, or are they open to anyone to come by?
They are open to anyone. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we tailor them for the industry. You know, I think that, you know, when Sherry Fest started, before it started, you know, I think I'm pretty transparent about the fact that at the time I knew very little about sherry, and I had been a wine industry professional for a long time, but I had gone along like a lot of people where I had a cursory understanding of the subject, but I really didn't know that much about it. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay that a lot of people are in that boat, but. You know, we really want to give industry professionals an opportunity to go in and really kind of begin to grasp the complexities of sherry. It's a really complicated sort of system of production, and in some ways, it's a whole different subject than wine. And so, to really wrap your head around the evolution of flora and, you know, how and why terroir develops in a bodega, and to understand, you know, the variation of the complexity of styles takes a long time to learn. So, we've really wanted to create seminars that. Allows industry professionals to take their education to the next level. But that said, all of our events are open to consumers. We simply, you know, the thing about Sherry Fest is it's not a marketing event. It's not a sales event. We're not selling anything to anybody in the industry, either on the wholesale side or what Sherry Fest really is at heart is an educational event. And because it's an educational event, there's just absolutely no borders for who can come in and learn. So it's open to all consumers and all industry professionals.
I mean, I will say that sherry is one of those things where when I think I understand something, I totally don't. And so to keep being reminded, you know, as someone in the industry is so important. And I'm so glad that you guys are allowing that access for the industry and for consumers. So if anyone wants to you know, go to a seminar or to go to a dinner, where should they go?
Well, all the events are listed on our website, which is sherryfest.com. And there's a complete listing there, and you can register for events, you can buy tickets you know, to seminars and dinners. So, yeah.
And it's October 5th through the 8th.
Correct. It is. Yes, that's correct.
Is that less time than last year?
It is one less day in New York, but it's three more days in Toronto. So overall we're doing, I don't know at this point, can I even count, 7 days, 8 days? Yeah, so we do. New York is October 5th through the 8th, and Toronto is the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Rosemary, Peter, thank you so much. Check out Sherry Fest if y'all are in New York City or Toronto. We're going to take a break here on The Morning After and come back with what's on the menu at Chardonnay's.
You're listening to Loveless Child by Shadowbox on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from The Morning After.
I make a great loveless child.
We are back here on The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Lovely to have you back, Jesse. So we got to find out what was going on with the front of house. Special little Grecian edition this week. We would be foolish to skip our other favorite place, my favorite restaurant and yours. A place that celebrates all bad food and wine trends. Chardonnays.
Joe,
that was the saddest little noise. It doesn't matter. We don't need jingles.
Well, I mean, Jen, you could jingle it.
I'm going to give you the acapella.
I don't want to spoil anything, but there is a jingle coming up in about 13 seconds.
Thanks, Joe. Well, without further ado, I'd like to go backwards in time and revisit an old Chardonnay segment we did a couple of months ago. I did spend the last couple of days in Jers, out in Dirty Jers, for a wedding, a family wedding, and I was reminded of how delightful it is to be with a fam, and all of my southern family are coming in droves for my wedding in less than a month now. Less than a month. So I would like to go back to a time when we checked out a family barbecue Chardonnays. Let's do it, Joe. Well, we talked earlier about our grandmother tribute today for Mother's Day. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I decided to take Chardonnays, because Chardonnays does love a good pop-up. Ooh, uh-huh. What's on the menu with Chardonnays? Gotta find out who makes those jingles. I was thinking about, you know, my favorite experiences with my beloved grandmothers. And I'm from the South, and barbecuing and potlucking is big in our culture. And I do love a birthday party. So this week, Chardonnays is doing a pop-up for your grandmother's 90th birthday potluck. Oh, welcome to Nandy's 90th, hosted by your Uncle Barry, or as your father calls him, that asshole we don't make eye contact with. Come on down to the backyard where we've set up 6 full-length folding tables and 12 coolers of already melted ice. Oh, there's Aunt Susan. I guess she didn't run off with her algebra student after all. Yikes, is that Aunt Patty's potato salad? You guys are just too much. Here comes Cousin Dan with a veggie plate he paid for with 16 Costco coupons. Who doesn't love a hoarder? Once you've eaten your fill of baby carrots and ranch, move on down to the macaroni of mysterious origin section, where you have your choice of 6 bowls of pasta, each floating in a dill pepper cream sauce. And yes, once that shit is on your paper plate, everything else will taste like it. Looks like your nephew Bartholomew is already into the salad greens. Isn't he sweet? He's homeschooled. Easy there, Bart. Let's save some iceberg lettuce for the rest of us. If there's still room on your Dixie plate for more, your dad and Uncle Bill are grilling up some burgers and dogs. It's so nice to see those two getting along after their fist fight at Julie's graduation. And finally, here she is, the woman of the hour, Nana, taking her place in a floral print chaise that still has the plastic cover on. And it seems that there's some confusion here. She's whispering something to Aunt Linda. She is going back inside, ladies and gentlemen. She is just gonna go back inside. Nana has decided instead to eat a Jell-O cup in her bedroom so she can catch the end of Judge Judy. Thanks for coming, everyone. Enjoy the day, and don't forget that you drunkenly agreed to start a book club with your cousin Janice. You better get to reading the help. Happy Mother's Day, y'all. Mother's Day? That was a while ago.
I don't even remember when Mother's Day was.
I don't know.
May, maybe?
Is it October yet?
No. We're almost there. I'll be moving. There. You'll be married.
You'll be moving. I'll be marrying.
All those things.
And then I'll be in Indonesia.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to hear about that. You'll have to get some clips.
Oh, I'll get some clips.
I want to say thank you to Rosemary and Peter for being in studio today. And I can only imagine that life feels crazy hectic for them with this pending event.
Just keep drinking.
Just keep drinking. Exactly. Drink Sherry, everyone.
Yes.
The website is sherryfest.com, where you can learn about seminars to attend and dinners and the tasting and all that jazz. This is The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
And I'm Jen Tellick.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.